today on A Word to Live By.
When I pray this, when I pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, I'm acknowledging my relationship with God. He's my deliverer, and I'm the delivered. I'm the one set free. So deliver me, Lord. Deliver us from this. That's what he said he's done. He says, I am your deliverer.
It's the most basic of prayers, this cry for deliverance. And it's an essential part of the prayer model we call the Lord's Prayer. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher speaks of its importance in our conclusion of Teach Us to Pray.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're finishing up our series on the Lord's Prayer. So I want to point you to this to Luke chapter 11, and then we'll look at verses 1 through 4 for the last time, at least in this series. And then we're going to move through just some thoughts about this prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and then Jesus adds in Matthew, your will be done. We've been looking at Matthew's passage as well. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And then Matthew will say, and we'll look at this in just a moment, and deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. When I look at this passage of Scripture, we've been talking about just the power of it in the sense of this is what Jesus taught us to pray. These are the elements. These are the points. These are the bullet points that God is very interested in us praying to Him, speaking to Him. We look at 7 requests ultimately from Luke and Matthew, 3 that have to do with this exaltation of God, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Three, four that deals with our need. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one or from evil. And so 3 requests that speak of God and His glory and what we desire to see happen in our lives, and then 4 requests of what God comes to do in our heart. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, you see a lot of things about it, and we've tried to look at the whole scope of it. We see, first of all, relationship. We see our relationship with God, who God is, who we are in Christ, and what we are, how we're to live. For instance, when we talked about our Father in heaven, we talked about God being Father, we being being His children, and we want to imitate this great God. We want to imitate our Father as beloved children. And so we did a whole message on speaking and living toward the life of God as Father. Hallowed be your name. He is God. We are worshipers. He is our God. He's worthy to worship. We're to worship Him in spirit and truth. We're to hallow His name. His name is to be exalted from our lives, from our marriages, from our families, from our church. Wherever we go, may His name be exalted. We saw that He is King, and we are subjects of that King, even though He's our Father. We saw, Thy kingdom come, Your will be done. And we looked at Your will be done. We see, God, not only are You King, but You are our Lord, and we want to follow You. We want to submit to Your will. And if you'll remember, we spoke about coming, how Jesus came and said, I've come to do Your will, O God, not sacrifice, not offering, but Your will, O God, I've come to accomplish. And so as we've been looking through, we've been looking at who God is, who we are, and how we are to live. When I look at this passage of Scripture and just studying it over the last couple of days, I have a friend, and his name is Joe McKeever. He was my parents' pastor for a few years over in First Baptist Church of Kenner, Louisiana. And he's a blogger and he's a cartoonist, and I've met him. And he had a post this week, and it was just this thought. And he says, I'm working on an article called Short Prayers. And then he just said, Google it. And so I didn't read, I read a little bit more of it. And so I started Googling short prayers. And in the 1800s, there was a guy, and I can't remember his name, but he was publishing a publication on prayer. And he spoke of, and he kind of coined this term, flash prayer. Okay. Later on, people would develop that and call it bullet praying or arrow praying, okay, shooting arrows. And so I was looking at it, I was very, very intrigued, especially because as we've been looking through this Lord's Prayer. And, you know, James says that we're to pray without ceasing, or I'm sorry, Paul does in 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. And so as I got to thinking about that, began to look at the short prayers of Scripture. These one-liners targeted at God. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we've been talking about this prayer as a part of our prayer time. We get into prayer, we have this outline, we pray in the morning or we pray in the evening. But aren't we all praying all day long to some extent? And what we're doing is often it's just those one-liners, right? Just those one-liners to God, those short prayers that absolutely, totally mean something to us. Why? Because they meet us in the moment. They meet us in the moment of our need. Or they meet us in the moment of our joy. So I might look at a prayer that says, oh God, I need you right now. That's a bullet prayer. That's an arrow prayer. That is a prayer that we pray to God. And you know, oftentimes I've found in my own life that when I'm praying like that and I'm specifically speaking these kinds of things to God, I often see God at work. Don't you? Don't you see God answering those? And whether it's a need, whether it's a thanksgiving, whether it's a high praise to God, that short blip, that short prayer, that short thrust of the sword, that short and quick, putting the arrow into the bow and I mean just pulling it back and then letting it flow to the heart of God. This prayer, flash prayer, this arrow prayer. And so when we look at Scripture, we see these kinds of prayers. And I want to just share with you 10, just real briefly, 10 short one-liner prayers toward heaven in the moments of these folks' life. Number one, the thief on the cross. Luke 23:42. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's short. You know, that's a short prayer, right? But isn't it powerful? I mean, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus respond? In that one short prayer, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I'll answer that prayer. I'll answer the prayer of that moment. I'll answer it. You know, you don't see this dissertation from this guy on the cross. It's just one little brief prayer. Oh God, save me, really. Remember me. Look at a dad whose son is demonized. Mark 9:24. You remember when he says, oh, if you can do this, if you can cast this demon out, if you can heal my son. And Jesus said, if you can, I can do all things for those who believe. And what did that man pray? He prayed, oh, God, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. A short prayer in the moment. Now, listen to me. We're not negating what we've been talking about in getting up in the morning or in the evening and spending the quality time with God. I'm talking about when you get up from prayer and you're facing life and you need God in the moment and you confess that and you share that and you speak that and you cry out for that. So this dad says, oh, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Let me ask you a question. Did God help him? Did Jesus help him in his unbelief? Yes, he did. He answered. He answered the prayer. He healed the son. The demon was gone. The demon was gone. I think about Peter sinking in the sea in Matthew 14:30. You remember that? Lord, let me come out. He's walking on water. I mean, he's walking on water. He's doing the impossible. And when he begins to see the waves and he sees the impossibility of this act that's happening, he starts to sink in unbelief. And what does he say? This one bullet prayer. Oh, Lord, save me. What about the tax collector in Luke 18:13, where he says, be merciful to me, the sinner. One small prayer. Listen, I've seen it. I've seen it in ministry. I've seen it where folks are coming to Christ. And instead of saying, okay, I'm going to lead you in this sinner's prayer, I just say, you pray. And you know what they say? God, save me. God, deliver me. God, I believe. Right? It's just that short, powerful move of God for that one moment in my day that I needed God, that I needed to see Him work, that I needed to see Him help. Let me tell you, there is power in crying out to God in that moment. Save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I need you in this moment. I need your peace. The blind man in Luke 18:44, I want to regain my sight. Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10 had a few of them. Bless me. Enlarge my border. May your hand be with me. Keep me from harm. A leper in Mark 8:2, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And what does Jesus say? I'm willing. Be clean. You know what's so exciting about this? You can't put prayer in a box, can you? We want to put prayer in a box, say, this is how you got to pray it, and this is how you got to say it, and this is how you got to do it. Oh, listen, this guy says, hey, God, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What does Jesus say? Well, I'm sorry, but I need a little bit more faith than that. I need a little bit more faith than that, so come on back to me. You know, no, I'm willing. Be clean. Just like that man with the demonized son. God, I'm trying here. I'm struggling. I believe you, but I've got some unbelief going on in here. I've got some things going on. What does God do? God doesn't shoo him away and say, bring your son back when you've got more faith. No, God meets him right where he is in that moment. Why? Because he appealed to God. He appealed to incarnate God, Jesus Christ. And I love this thought, especially when we talk about the Lord's Prayer in a few minutes. Taking one of those phrases and living it out through the day and crying out to God when it's appropriate to pray and to speak that word out to God. Allow it to be the spontaneous work of the Spirit of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:8, remove this thorn. Remember that? What did God say? No, I'm not going to do it right now. A little bit later, God, remove this thorn. Not going to do it right now. Third time. God, Lord, I don't know if he said this way. Please remove the thorn. No. My grace is sufficient for you right now. Because power is perfected in weakness. And then you know what he said? Oh, you want to say it that way? Lord, don't remove the thorn. If it is a point of where I'm weak and you're strong and you're glorified and you are honored in this, I'll see to it that I'll live right with this thorn in my flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Jesus in John 11:39, just a short word at the grave of Lazarus. Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Peter in Acts 9:40. Tabitha, Dorcas, same woman, falls dead. And what does he say? Tabitha, arise. What did Tabitha do? She arose. Short, arrow-like, bullet-like. Just those short phrases that come forth from our mouths. In times of praise, in times of worship, in times of thanksgiving, in times of desperation. The most memorable line, and that I'm back to right now, is just, God, grant me favor. Would you grant me favor with these people? Would you grant me favor in this situation? Would you grant me favor? You know, there's an Old Testament word. The word is called chesed, C-H-E-C-E-D. It is the one of the most remarkable Hebrew words in all of Scripture. When you study it, you look at it and it says, it's translated the loving kindness of God. But it's also, you can look it up in dictionaries and it says, this word is the mercy, grace, and favor of God. When we talk about mercy, we talk about grace in this word. And so I've been asking God, would you grant me favor? Would you grant me favor in this situation? Would you grant me favor? Would you grant me grace? Will you grant me mercy? And really, for the last 15 years, it is something that I pray regularly. God, grant us favor. Grant me favor as a husband. Grant me favor as a dad, as a grandfather. Grant me favor as a pastor. Grant our church favor. Grant our people favor. Grant our finances favor. God, grant our home here, just the favor of God upon us. Let me tell you some of the things that these one-liners that have been meant so much to me. God, grant me favor with these people. Grant me favor with this situation. Back early in the early years when God asked us to stay, we thought God was asking us to stay at Cottonwood 20-something, almost 30 years ago. I asked God, would you satisfy us with your presence? Not with church growth, not with budgets and not with buildings, but satisfy us with you and your presence. I can't tell you how many times I prayed that one-liner, may I be led by your Spirit. Jesus, you are Lord over this. Can't tell you how many times that the situation's been hard and I'm able to say, God, you are Lord. Jesus is Lord over this. I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 years or 4 years that God has conditioned my heart to thank him for everything, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly. God, I thank you for this. It's just that one line thought that, God, I thank you for this difficult thing. And I'm just going to tell you some of the things I thank God for. It doesn't make sense why anybody would thank God for this. But something supernatural happens when you ask God or you thank God for everything. Something supernatural happens when you confess him as Lord over any situation that's bad or difficult. I've just seen him work in these one-liner prayers. Oh God, may I love well. Lord, may I walk in patience in this situation right now. I've prayed for our church, one-liners. Would you send hungry people who just want to move on with you? So all they want to do is just move on with whatever you have for them. God, would you send hungry people, hungry families to this place? Pray for my marriage. Lord, may we truly walk in oneness. May we truly think alike. For our children, may you fulfill the meaning of their names. And I've prayed it. I've prayed it all. Just like you save me, heal me. I receive your peace. Deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me from this stinking attitude that I have. Deliver me from this fear. Deliver me from this anger. Deliver me from the beginnings of unforgiveness and bitterness. Deliver me. And that's where we are this morning in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. It's just that one short line that I can pray all day long. When I think about God deliver me, what am I saying? I'm saying you are deliverer. You're the one who delivers. You're the one who saves. You're the one who redeems. And then as I get up from my prayer and I walk through the day, I like to see a lot of things that I need to be delivered from. Don't you? I mean, listen, this prayer is not just about saying, God, will you forgive me for the past? It's about preparing for the future. So that I can be strong in the future. So that I can avoid the sin that causes me to say, God, forgive me. Make it right. And I think this is what Jesus is saying. Listen, all of these things really, God's already intending to do. I'm just walking in agreement with him. Deliver me, God. Deliver me from evil thoughts. Deliver me from evil motives. Deliver me from grumbling and complaining and murmuring. God, deliver me, God. Deliver me from that. I think that every one of us sometime this week can pray that about 5 times. Deliver me from this grumbling spirit. Amen? Is that right? The complaint that comes out of our mouth. Deliver me, Lord. That's what he said he's done. He says, I am your deliverer. Romans 11:26 says, the deliverer will come from Zion and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. What a great promise. This thought of coming to deliver us and removing the ungodliness from us. So why not pray that? Why pray? So one line. Oh God, you're my deliverer. You've come from Zion and you've come to remove ungodliness from me. So show me where I'm ungodly. Show me where ungodly behavior is coming forth. And God, I want to confess it so that I might be delivered from it. Because you know, Lord, that walking in these attitudes and walking in this sin hasn't accomplished anything in my relationship with you. So deliver me, Lord. Deliver us from this. When I pray this, when I pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, I'm acknowledging my relationship with God. He's my deliverer, and I'm the delivered. I'm the one set free. Colossians 1:13 says, He rescued us from the domain of darkness and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Turn to Psalm 40 for just a moment. Psalm chapter 40. And notice, I think we mentioned this last week. But verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord and He cried to me and He heard my cry. See that? He cried out. He heard my cry. I like it because it's just kind of singular. It's not cries. You heard my cry. I cried out to you. You heard it. And what did you do? You brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock. You made my footsteps firm. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust. He's not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. He's trusted God. Listen, you may be in the pit today. Cry out. Trust. And you know what? It's just an act of faith. Just reach up. Yeah, just do it physically. Just do it in the natural. I raise my hand up for you to come and deliver me out of this pit that I found me in. Listen, He did that at salvation, did He not? Amen. Listen, in whatever pit you've seemed to be falling into, whatever that is, whatever it is, He is the God that is still the same, who delivered us and still does by reaching down and pulling us out and putting that part of our lives on the rock and putting a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our great God. Thank you, Deliverer. We are delivered. And that's all I'm doing in life. I'm just agreeing with this. And when I'm coming to this situation, God, deliver me from this. Just cry out. But I'm going to tell you, I'm driving down the road of life, and there's a wreck coming. And I say, God, deliver me from that wreck. Deliver me from poor choices and bad attitudes. Deliver me from these things, Lord. And what does God do? I'll just use the vernacular from last week. He dives into the dumpster and pulls us out of the dump. Amen. That's what He does. He's our deliverer. Now, let me just say a couple more things, and we'll close this morning. When you look at evil, what is evil? Evil is that which is bad, and sometimes it's described as that, as hard. It's also described bad, hard, wicked. Okay, and so He says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the hard. Deliver us from the wicked. Deliver us from the bad. And there's at least three things that we find in Scripture that God says that we get delivered from. First of all, in this passage, back to Matthew 6:13, we didn't turn there, but the Bible says, but lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew inserts an article. So he says this. He says, deliver us from the evil one. Okay? So there's a thought that this evil, and we know that, the evil one who is Satan, that we spent a couple of weeks talking about, the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. I've also noticed, especially in 2 Timothy 4:17 through 18, talks about the fear of the evil one. So a lot of us know that we've been delivered, but some of us walk around fearing the evil one, fearing the devil. Let me just say this. You don't fear the devil. Jesus said, listen, let me tell you the one who feeds you to fear, the one who has the authority to cast into hell. And I want to tell you, enemy doesn't have the authority to do that. Amen. We're to walk in a healthy fear of God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is. Listen, he says it to Timothy, that He's delivered us from the fear of the evil one. And so I encourage you, look at that passage sometime this week. Look at it, because he goes on to say, He delivers us from every evil deed. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Please mark it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation overtaking you which is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, make a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, ought to memorize it. Every one of us ought to memorize this verse. There's nothing that the enemy can throw at us that it's all common. You're not going through something that anyone else is not going through. And this temptation comes and the enemy comes, but he says, listen, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what your ability is. But I'm going to even make a way of escape. So let me say this. Evil deeds. God wants to deliver you from evil deeds. How? By standing strong in temptation. When the enemy comes and tempts you to understand that temptation is common. and it's not given to me above my ability. In other words, I have the strength, I have the ability, I have the giftedness, I have everything I need to say no to that sin. But guess what else he does? Not only does he give us a temptation that we can handle, or he allows a temptation that we can handle, he always gives us a way of escape. Always. Always, 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 always. Can I say this? I'm going to say this to me. And then you can just take it as it was to you. Mike Fritcher, you have no excuse. Mike Fritcher, you have no excuse. You have a deliverer. You've been delivered. He's delivering you still from the evil one and from every evil deed. And then, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21, great passage of scripture. But he tells us to stand so that we may stand firm in the day of evil. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm in the day of evil. The evil one, evil deeds, the day of evil. There are those kinds of days, aren't there? And those days sometimes go into seasons that we have to stand firm because things aren't changing. But I've got a God. His name is Jesus, which means Savior, Deliverer, who's Emmanuel, who's with us to save us, to deliver us. So let's act like delivered people. You know one of the greatest ways to act like delivered people? Proclaim it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke chapter 3, I believe, or 4, where he goes into the synagogue and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives." And he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 61, verses 1 through 4. He's quoting that. He says he's resting upon us so that we might proclaim this deliverance, so that folks who've been enslaved to sin and fear of the evil one all their lives might be delivered by the deliverer. And guess what the deliverer does? He puts the word and he puts the message in your hands and my hands. He puts it in your heart. He puts it in your mouth so that you might bring it, that you might speak it, that you might live the deliverance power of God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together, okay? God, we are grateful. We are grateful for this prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, may we walk from this place with those kinds of one-liners. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. We're forgiven everyone who's sinning against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from every evil deed. Deliver us, Lord, from the day of evil. Teach us what it means to walk in agreement with that, to resist temptation and to put on the full armor of God. I thank you that you not only deliver us, but you give us a part in the deliverance through faith and through self-discipline. Lord, if there's someone in here today that's in the pit, I pray this would be their day. That they'd just reach up and you'd reach down and you'd pull them out of the pit. Maybe there's the pit of just darkness, Lord, that they've never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day that they come to believe him, that he's their deliverer, that they can be delivered today and walk a life of deliverance, freedom, to know that whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And Father, if there's someone in here today that's just in the pits today, I pray that they go from this place knowing you've touched them and they're out of the pit, walking in agreement with you. And I thank you, Lord. You're such a precious God. Sweet God, sweet Father, Abba God, I thank you, Lord, for this series. And I pray, Lord, as a result, that God, that we would move from this place praying in that morning hour, in that evening hour, sitting long before you, but then getting up and living life just kind of throw in those one-liners, Lord, as they come, as they meet the need of the moment. I want to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.